From KXCV KRNW, it's Now Showing with your host, Patty Hawley.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. On this afternoon's program, a new exhibit opens at Gallery 7 in St. Joseph. The search is on for artists to show their work at the Art for the Health of It exhibit, and the Friends of the Symphony is looking for help. New artwork will be featured at Gallery 7 in downtown St. Joseph next Thursday. Idy Youngblood is a member of Gallery 7 and the board secretary.
Well, all of the members will be exhibiting new work. We'll have two featured artists, Jerome Hernandez and Deborah Weems. Jerome does some wonderful digital art. He also works in watercolor and acrylic. Deborah is a photographer, and both of them are well known in the St. Joseph area. Deborah does some fantastic wildlife photography, and then she does some flowers that are delightful. So they're both very talented and use different media. We have 16 members right now, and all of the artists will have new work. If you like, I can tell you who those members are. Jerome, of course, is our digital artist. And we have four photographers, and besides Deborah, they're Jim Fly, Jeff Foster, and Fred Boltmer. We also have two mixed media artists, Josh Hamilton and Brenda Riley. And Brenda also does photography. Then Wanda Taylor is our colored pencil artist. And Becky Calger and Chris Long are our jewelers. Evelyn Jordan Isaacs is well known in St. Joseph and has been artist of the biennial artist. She's exhibited her work and won awards in the area and is also exhibited in Paris, France. Let's see, we have Silas Gaddy, who does ceramics, and then Cynthia Barber is a multi-talented artist, and she works in watercolor, and she does landscapes as well as portraits. Mary Corniman is our other watercolor artist, and she does. She brings history to life with paintings of old farm equipment and barns and bridges. David Norvell, who has just moved here from New York, works in oils and does some fantastic portraits. And I do mostly abstracts and acrylics.
Is Gallery 7 growing? It sounds like you've added maybe some new members recently.
No, we haven't. As a matter of fact, we just lost one, and we were so sorry, but there were other priorities that called. So we do have 16, which is really, it's a comfortable number, and it's a workable number. So, and I think we have 15, at least, really good artists, the finest in the area.
Tell me when and where the exhibit will be.
Okay, the opening will be a reception from 6 to 9, Thursday night, September the 17th, in the gallery at 117 North 7th Street. It's right across from the little park, and we will have refreshments.
Will we be able to see the work by the other artists as well, not just the featured artists?
Yes, indeed. Yes, we will have them in a special place, and then all the other artists will have their work there, too.
Idy Youngblood is the board secretary at Gallery 7. She says the gallery is open Tuesdays through Thursdays from noon until 3, Fridays from noon till 6, and on Saturdays from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. The Allied Arts Council continues its Art for the Health of It program this coming November. Artists now are encouraged to start considering submitting their artwork. Wanda Taylor is one of the organizers of the show.
Art for the Health of It is in conjunction with Heartland Hospital, and it's an opportunity twice a year for artists to display their work with an exhibit out at the hospital.
Why did the two team up?
Well, Heartland is very big on being community-minded, and they love the arts, and they wanted to help support the arts. It helps patients, families that go out there to visit people, just to have beautiful artwork to look at.
Will there be a special area where the artwork is exhibited, or will it be hung on the walls?
Yes, it will be hung on the walls, and it will be next to the Heart Center.
So what will we see in this exhibit?
Oh, we have all kinds of different categories of art. We have photography, there's drawing, there's paintings. We even have a submission for sculpture. We don't have a place to display it, so we can't display it, but it can be in the contest. Anybody can exhibit their work, but it will be judged. They bring in three judges, and they judge the artwork in four different categories, and then there's first places for each category, plus a best in show.
Where are these artists from?
They're usually right around this area, Maryville, St. Joe, smaller towns around.
When will the exhibit be?
The exhibit will be accepting artwork from October the 12th through the 26th down at the Allied Arts Council offices. The art will hang in December through till January the 4th, and the reception for the artists and family and friends is November the 3rd at 5:30.
So this is just now in the beginning stages for this year. An artist who would like to have their work in this exhibit, what do they need to do?
Well, if they would like to have their work in the exhibit, I have a phone number that they can call. It is 816-233-0231, and that's for Allied Arts Council offices, and they can explain to you when to have your artwork down at the Allied Arts Council. It's a really neat program, and it's one of the first programs I ever joined when I got back into the art scene. And it's really nice place to display your artwork. It's a nice place to meet other artists and to network. It's a really nice program.
Will this artwork be for sale, or is it strictly for exhibit?
It can be for sale. If you don't want to sell it, that's fine too. But if you want to put a price tag on it, we have sold artwork through this exhibit.
What is the reaction of patients and healthcare workers at the hospital?
They love it. Every time we bring out a new exhibit, they get excited. They go, oh, new artwork. They love it, and they love to look at it. We've been hanging artwork before and had, you know, medical personnel or just people visiting other people at the hospital. How much is that one? So, yeah, they love it. They really do.
Again, artists interested in submitting their artwork can contact the Allied Arts Council at 816-233-0231. The Friends of the Symphony is a group of volunteers dedicated to helping the St. Joseph Symphony. Executive Director of the Symphony, Derek Hines, says the Friends of the Symphony raise money for the concert season and special projects.
They're actually a separate 501c3 independent group. Their main mission, their purpose, is to raise money to continue to fund and support the symphony here in the community. The symphony's been around for 102 years now, and the Friends would like to see it stay that way. Over the years, they've done a number of different kinds of events and fundraisers and projects. In the early part of this decade, they had disassembled a little bit. Now they're kind of reassembling themselves and trying to put together some new programs. Last year, they started out small. They started raffling gift baskets and things like that at our concerts and running other small events just to try to get people interested in what was going on at the symphony and being able to help out as much as they can. This year they're trying to get a little more aggressive. They're working on a cooperative project with the Albrecht Kempner Museum here in St. Joseph. The idea being that here in St. Joe, a very historic town, there's a lot of art out there, and there's a lot of art in people's homes that never really gets to be seen very much. So the idea of the event is to try to talk to some of the folks that have that art hanging in their living rooms and their studies and wherever else, and to bring it in to the museum for a special exhibit that would only be there for a very short time, and to have that event and have it serve it as a fundraiser for us. Down the line, they'd like to do even more, larger events, and thinking of different ways to get people involved and excited.
How does somebody become involved in Friends of the Symphony?
Well, it couldn't be easier. All they have to do is call the symphony office. And our main number there is 816-233-7701. And just ask us about it, and we'll get you hooked up with Barb Vanio, who's been our Friends president here for the last couple of seasons, and she would love to talk to you and to get you involved. They don't meet too often. It's just maybe once a month, something like that, to try to talk over what the plans are and then help each other out with the projects. And then it comes down to volunteering, usually on concert nights and event nights, to help make sure everything goes smoothly. But the more the merrier.
Is it mostly a time commitment you're looking for?
Yeah, this really is volunteering. I mean, of course, we'd like anyone who wanted to be a donor to assist in our efforts. But really, this effort is more about time, volunteering and spending time with us. And, we welcome volunteers. You know, we have our board of directors that's all volunteers, but we also have a number of committees that work during the year, and those committees are open. We don't require that the people serving on the committees be board members. They can be anyone from the community who is willing to lend us a hand in some of the different areas that we need, whether that's in the form of marketing or in education, our educational programs, or finance or other things like that. It's helpful to have expertise from the community. So we would certainly welcome any volunteers in that regard.
How valuable is this group in the continuing efforts of the symphony?
Well, they're a critical component. Being a nonprofit organization, there are a limited number of revenue streams that we can count on in terms of providing the underlying structural support that we need to run the symphony throughout the year. Ticket sales certainly are part of that, but they're not a gigantic part. They help us supplement what comes in, on concert nights. But we count on individual donations. We count on corporate sponsorships. We count on grants that we write to different groups throughout the year, whether it's the Allied Arts Council here in St. Joseph or the Missouri Arts Council on the state level, sometimes the National Endowment for the Arts, or some other corporate funders. But to have the Friends out there working on our behalf and talking to people individually about what we do and why it's important to have the symphony here in the community makes a tremendous difference, and we appreciate everything they do.
Will they be there at the next concert in October?
Absolutely. And in fact, anytime you come to one of our concerts, you'll see people wearing little white name tags. They're all members of our board and members of the Friends, and you can talk to any one of them that you see, and they can tell you all about it. We absolutely welcome anybody with open arms.
Tell me a little bit about the concert that comes up in October. What kind of music will we hear?
Well, we're excited about this because we wanted to kick off the season with some exciting music, and in this instance, we're doing a program of all American music, and it's familiar music. The Morton Gould American Salute is based on the theme of When Johnny Comes Marching Home. So when people hear that piece, they'll be able to pick out that melody and say, oh yeah, I know what this is. And just a great, fun, lively piece to start off. The Barber Adagio for Strings is a very, very popular piece. Many people have it on their CDs or their iPods and that sort of thing, and we know they'll enjoy that. And we'll finish the first half with Aaron Copland's Lincoln Portrait. Hard to get more American than that. And on the 200th anniversary of Lincoln's birth, we thought it was an appropriate piece to perform. And then the second half is a very beloved piece in the classical literature, and that's the New World Symphony, Anton Dvorak. And it's just a tremendous piece and fun to listen to. It'll fill the hall with sound, and that's what we like. So we think it's a great way to kick things off, and it gives people an opportunity to not only hear the music but to meet our new music director, Rico McNeela, in person. He'll be at our reception in the mezzanine after the concert. He wants to meet everybody and talk to everybody, and so it'll be a good chance to do that.
When and where will the concert be?
We're at the Missouri Theater, which is at 717 Edmund Street in downtown St. Joseph, with parking, ample parking within a block or two in every direction. It's a 7:30 p.m. start time. We historically have started our concerts at 8 o'clock on Saturday nights. We decided to move to 7:30 this year. The 8 o'clock is sort of a holdover from the East Coast when people had to take the train home from work and change and take the train back into the city. We thought, since we're here in the Midwest and we're all just driving in anyway, why don't we try it at 7:30? But it'll be Saturday, October the 3rd, at the Missouri Theater. You can get tickets. The easiest way to do it is to do it online. We now offer online ticket sales. St. Joseph Symphony, it's all spelled out, S-A-I-N-T, stjosephsymphony.org, and you can buy your tickets directly online. You can buy them by phone. Just give us a call at the number I mentioned, 816-233-7701. Or you can stop by the Symphony office. We're in there 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and that's at 120 South 8th Street, which is just around the corner from the Missouri Theater front door.
Again, the Symphony's concert will be Saturday, October 3rd, beginning at 7:30. Anyone interested in becoming a friend of the St. Joseph Symphony can contact the Symphony office at 816-233-7701. The St. Joseph organization is working to foster the appreciation and enjoyment of organ and choral music through recitals and workshops. The group is made up of organists and choir directors and is part of a national organization. Tom Smith is the dean of the St. Joseph chapter of the American Guild of Organists.
The American Guild of Organists was founded in 1896 in New York and soon spread throughout the country. We have chapters in states and cities all over the country. It's for organists and choir directors both. We're devoted to the promotion of the art of the organ and sacred music.
Do you have some history about the St. Joe chapter? When did it get started and why?
The St. Joseph chapter was founded in 1950. Most of the founders, I think, have passed on now. Thurley Loeffler, who was at First Christian Church for many years, was one of the founders. Elsie Barnes Durham, who was at First Baptist. We currently have about 15 members serving in a variety of denominations, Presbyterian, United Methodist, Catholic, Disciples of Christ, United Church of Christ, Baptist, I know, and there may be others.
What does the organization do in St. Joseph?
In St. Joseph, we have meetings several times during the course of the year. We elect officers. The term dean is the term we use for the head of our local organization. We host one major concert artist each year. We usually present a Christmas seasonal program. This year, because of scheduling considerations, we're planning to do a Thanksgiving theme program in November instead.
Can you tell me what we can expect during that November program?
We're still working on the details on that. Several of our local organists will be involved performing seasonal works either for Thanksgiving or Reformation that time of year. We hope to get a singing group involved in that, too. The details are still in being worked out.
What about the spring concert? You say you typically feature an organist in the spring. Who will you have this year?
This year we're bringing in a young man, Nathan Lauba, who recently graduated from the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia. This follows on a couple of years of major artists. 2 years ago we brought in Diane Bish, who is nationally broadcast with the Joy of Music, her program. Last year we brought in Cameron Carpenter, another young, splendid organist who really brought in a good crowd of younger as well as older musicians. This year, one of our members, David Lewis, heard Nathan Lauba at a national organ historical convention and was very, very impressed with him. Like I say, he's only 20 years old, recently graduated the Curtis Institute, has concertized in this country and in Europe. He is especially known, besides the classical concert repertoire, he's also known for playing his own transcriptions, organ arrangements of classical music for the orchestra, pieces by Bach and Mozart and so forth.
Is it difficult for these organists to come to St. Joseph and perform on an organ that they may not be familiar with? Does that make a difference in what they perform?
Well, it's in the nature of organists, particularly of traveling organists, that each instrument is unique, and they always take some time to try it out, to experiment with the different sounds that it has. Typically, we'll have an artist come in 1 or 2 days early so that they have dedicated time on the instrument that they're playing on. Nathan is going to be playing at Francis Street First United Methodist Church, which has a wonderful Hook and Hastings organ that dates from the 19th century. We're very proud of it. It's been well maintained and kept in great condition. I think he'll be excited, and I think we will too. That's set for the 11th of April, like I say, at Francis Street First United Methodist, I think 3 in the afternoon. And, of course, the public is invited. We will be selling tickets for that.
Where can they get tickets? Do they get the tickets at the door, or can they get them in advance?
At the door or through any of the guild members. We usually will be publicizing that information in advance.
You talked about guild members. How does one become a member of the guild?
It's really quite simple. There's a membership form, an application form. There is a fee. It varies depending upon how. There's a senior discount and a student discount and a full membership, but the form can be found at the national website, which is agohq.org, like agoheadquarters.org, or for many of the local members. If you're not sure, check with your church or with the Allied Arts Council. That information is available through the Allied Arts Council also.
Do you recommend anybody become a member of this guild, or just people who perform organ music?
Well, it's designed primarily for organists and choir directors, but friends of the organ are welcome to join. Also, friends of sacred music, choir members. We would love to have anybody who has a particular interest, a passion for this. We are a somewhat rarefied breed, but we love what we're doing.
Why would you recommend somebody become a member?
Well, for a couple of reasons. The fellowship, the sharing that comes simply from our in-house gatherings, the opportunity to learn from one another. The guild has a whole graduated series of certification examinations, from the simplest service playing skills up through what is equivalent of a doctorate skill level in music. And in the past, we have had classes, and I would love to have put together a class for people who are interested in one of these levels and studying for the examination that leads to that certificate.
Now, this is on a personal note. I know you're an organist in St. Joseph. Do you have a favorite organ in this community?
Well, I'm very fond of the organ that I play at the cathedral up on 10th Street. It's a 1920 vintage organ that's been updated a couple of times since. It's not the largest one in town, but the church has wonderful acoustics, and I certainly enjoy that. A couple of other favorites, besides the Hook and Hastings at Francis Street First, the organ at First Presbyterian Church, where Jerry Anderson plays, is a wonderful instrument. We have often used that for our public performances. And another one I would mention is at Ashland United Methodist Church. It's a Hinner's organ, dates from the 19th century, and is still played directly by trackers from the keys to the pipes as it was originally built. And is a wonderful historic instrument in this town.
The St. Joseph chapter of the American Guild of Organists will hold this season's first concert on Tuesday, September 15th at the First Presbyterian Church in St. Joseph. The concert begins at 7 p.m. You can find information about these events and links to various arts organizations, as well as archived editions of Now Showing, on our website at kxcv.org. Please join us again next Thursday. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.